Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it helps when I turn my microphone on. What paranormal event made a death investigator question if they should go any further into their investigation?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. That is where you're going to get access to all of our bonus episodes of the show, EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, the archive. It's all commercial free. Our ebook, our audiobook, also got those on there for you. So you can just binge away and have a grand old time. Again, patreon.com/realghoststories or our website, ghostpodcast.com. Now that that's out of the way, hi, Carol.
Hi, Tony.
How are you?
Well, right before my dog's like staring at me, wants a treat, but won't take the one step closer to get it out of my hand. Here, they'll talk.
One step forward.
So I just let him go outside of the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And for the first time tonight, I saw fireflies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he did a number two. Well,
no, he did a number two.
And for the first time outside. Today, he did a number two. Yay!
I was so excited. He did it in the yard and I didn't have to pick it up.
Well, fireflies.
I saw fireflies tonight, or lightning bugs, whatever you call them.
Yeah, I called them lightning bugs up north, but I like fireflies. I think that's a cool one too. So either or.
I've always kind of used them interchangeably. I think I grew up with lightning bugs. Mm-hmm. But last year, someone who listens to this podcast was in another country, and they were like, and I took a picture because I just reached out and caught one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was videoing it. Actually, it was a video. Now, sometimes you can do that super easily, and sometimes you can try all night and not catch one.
Yeah.
But I got it, and whoever it was like, oh, my God, is that for real?
Yeah.
I'm like, it is. But imagine the magic of a firefly if you've never seen one.
And then you just tell everybody.
They're like the most amazing little things you've ever seen.
I'm like, what is that? That's there was a nuclear power plant that had an accident a couple years ago. Those are just flies.
They just drifted. And
they say everything.
It's kind of what they look like. It's that kind of greenish just glow. Yeah.
They tell
it's like
us
this little flash of light.
They tell us everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about anything. Our cat has four tails. But
that's cool. It's because, and you know, people get a kick out of it. The cat's really popular on Instagram. Four-tailed cat, follow me.
But they say it has nothing to do with the nuclear accident or why the flies glow in the dark. The puppy's ears glow, and it's fine. It's no big deal. Everybody's doing good.
We're all cool.
Shakes I got going on. Those burns. Like, it's okay. I'm okay.
Oh my God! There was that one show they had on HBO, wasn't it, with the Russian nuclear meltdown?
Chernobyl. That? Yeah, it was about Chernobyl.
Yeah, that was
which,
it.
That shit,
oh my God, that was good.
Yeah, that was a
and
great
freaky.
Series.
Like that was for real.
You can now go there. You can go. Well, you can visit. Pripyat, the town, or Pripyat, I never know how to say it correctly. That's the town just outside of Chernobyl that got hit basically with the aftermath of everything, and everybody was evacuated out of there. But then some stayed and some went back, and some it was just far too late to get out of there. And then you had all these abnormalities and everything, and the health problems just horrendous. But the town is there, and it's just this creepy abandoned city with all these big buildings in, but time started standing still in 85-ish, somewhere around there. And, mm-hmm. It's one of the coolest places if you like looking at urban exploration videos and things like that. But now people can actually pay to go there and take a tour. I don't know how safe that idea is, but you go around.
I was going to ask, what do you have to wear?
They're just going in on buses now because keep in mind, like, yes, their government there says, oh, yes, this is safe. and this is lovely. Go ahead. I don't know that I trust that idea, other than they might want to increase their tourism dollars. And hell, we got the glow in the dark land, so let's usher them in. But a lot of people are going
really
and doing it.
Fascinating to go see it.
Yeah,
but would I trust it? No.
And it wouldn't be like an, you know, it's like you'd be wondering, you know, 5 years later, if you get some form of cancer or something, going, is that because of that vacation? You know, you wouldn't know. I mean, it would just be like, shit. So I don't know. I mean, as cool as it would be to see, I'm just going to watch the videos and call it good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter, it says, so I work in the death industry. I'm a death investigator, and I've had many instances where I questioned if I should go any further. One of my first cases was where a man took his own life because he got caught looking at a younger kid. It was a strange feeling just being in the area we were in. I'm not sure if it was because it was during a event, or it was just a strange feeling due to being new in this career. I did not work with dead people before this. While later, my kids kept complaining that they would hear my voice calling them when I was not home. They also told me that they would see someone go room to room and assumed it was their dad or I'd come home early. Ended up saging my house with Palo Santos and saying a prayer for my children, the house, my husband, and me. It seemed to diminish after that. I hate to think something would follow me home, but it is a possibility. I've always had a connection with the other side, I believe. Seeing people who have passed in my dreams, seeing ghosts or individuals others cannot see, having one of those gut feelings before something bad happened. At another scene, I was putting an ankle tag onto a descendant. At the moment, I felt the area get still or silent, like it was in a bubble. My coworker, two cops, and our third-party transport was in the living area of the residence. Then I heard the others gasp and my coworker yelling, "What the hell was that?" I go out to the living room area and ask what's going on. They told me, "You did not hear that laugh?" I said, "No, but it was eerily quiet in there." I saw my coworker and cops looking around, hitting the stuffed animals to see if they could find where the sound was coming from. I didn't know where it came from, but it was a little kid's laugh, is what they said. I did not mention the decedent to the past. Definitely did look like they had seen a ghost and died with their mouths open. We left quickly after everything. Lastly, even though I have more, I've gone into this beautiful home. This deceased was going through a lot of medical issues, and there was evidence throughout the house that they did not take care of themselves. They lived alone. I did my routine, took the pictures of what I needed. I had been looking around if they had any medications or any doctor appointment cards. Looked in the bathroom, kitchen, bedroom, living area. I see a hallway and two doors, which I assume are other rooms that they did not use. One of the room's doors was ajar. Looked like there were white sheets covering furniture. I started walking towards the hallway and entered the beginning of it. I heard like a whisper in my ear say, "Stop." I shrugged it off and began to push the door open. And I hear, "Stop." And I literally jumped. I think no one saw me get startled, and I just backed away from the door. I did not press any further case. I knew even if I could not find what I wanted, I could request records. I know in some scenes I feel as if I'm invading someone's space. I usually am by myself when I'm doing my routine, unless I have other persons from other departments. I'll explain the deceased, even though they have passed on, to what I'm doing. It sounds dumb, but I feel they still may be in the same room as me. I cannot say if they're still lingering there, but just in case, I like to give them an explanation. When I get into my vehicle after a scene, I do say out loud, "Please do not follow me, and I pray your soul goes to your designated place of resting." Again, I know this sounds crazy, but I cannot risk bringing something into my home or life that could threaten my kids or my husband. Well, I think they handle their job pretty well for what they do.
I do too. Like, and I totally agree with all of that. I could see, no, I couldn't see myself doing that job because I'm very, very squeamish. Mm-hmm. But I could see that, you know, I hope you rest in peace. Like, you talk to that person and I could see getting in your car and saying, "Please don't follow me home." Like, I get all of that. But I think it's also very interesting to, I mean, really, that person could have a television show written about him. Her.
Yeah.
Because I think it's fascinating, that whole idea of being a sensitive and having a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of open to that a little bit, but then you got to shut it off too. It's just, that's fascinating to me.
It is. It's very fascinating.
Seriously, like that should be a television show. Has somebody done that already?
I think, hang on one second.
Because that makes a really good TV show.
I think, hang on one second. I think I have a promo for a TV show that's kind of like this. So
I bet you do.
I bet I do. Let me just pull up that promo. Here we go. Let's take a listen and find out what we got going on here. This fall, she's back. And she's sexier than ever. But this time, it's not about sex. It's about death. Sarah Jessica Parker returns to Death and the City. When Samantha's found brutally murdered on the side of a highway. Who done it? Don't miss Carrie Bradshaw as she returns to Death and the City. This fall on HBO.
Hats off. That was pretty brilliant.
Thank you. Was it good? Good improv there?
And having Samantha die of all people, too, is pretty perfect. Since she, I'm assuming they've killed her off in the new show.
I don't know what the new plot line's going to be. I don't know.
I mean, she's not coming back, so we can at least say she's dead to all them.
I'm going
to
guess they're going to have something like that.
Or they just, wouldn't it suck if you were in a show like that for all those years, and then they do a reboot after the movie, so it's kind of a reboot?
Or there's somebody else play Samantha?
Or they just never mention her.
Yeah.
She never existed. That would really suck. I think, would be like, what?
I think what you should do
is... You didn't even mention Samantha?
Have Becky number two from Roseanne play Samantha number two.
Well, didn't Roseanne like have both of them on at
yes.
one time?
Yeah, well, yeah, on one of the first episodes, they had a really kind of, I forgot what the relation was, but it was a funny connection that made it work. Just so she could be on for one episode. But yeah, or a couple episodes, I think.
And Becky's got blonde hair, so she's great. That's funny.
Becky number two plays Samantha. It's like how not like old soap operas. Today, the role of Hugo will be played by Humphrey Bogart in a wheelchair. But yeah. Oh.
Thank Hugo's, you for that laugh. That was funny.
So anyway,
my idea is, we need to turn that lady's story into a television show quick. Because that could, I don't know how you go about getting a television show or getting a script.
Oh, it's real easy.
But yeah, we got to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, other people have done it. We can do it.
Yeah. Well, someone will take the idea and run with it. Let's go to our next story. Here it is. All right. My grandmother owned a house on a street called Flamingo Lane. I refer to this house as the Flamingo House when I told my experiences to people. It's the house my mom and her siblings grew up in. When my grandmother moved out after her kids were well grown, my mom moved in at some time after. Remember, a lot of paranormal things happening to me there. It's almost like it picked on me because I was the youngest. The kitchen was made of wooden cabinets and the walls into the living room was the same wood. Each panel and cabinet looked like they had a set of eyes. These eyes not looked like regular wood circles. Each pair had eyebrows and pupils and human-like eye shapes. One set looked evil and gave me the creeps, and I'd always feel watched by that set. One night, washing clothes with my mom in the basement, we heard footsteps above, which would be in the kitchen. No one was home but us. Very scared, we went upstairs to check it out, and nothing was there. First time I experienced something with someone else was other than just myself. I was always home alone and a lot when my mother and oldest brother worked. I was about 14 or 15. One night showering, I felt like someone was behind me. It was not, but a few seconds later, the light cuts out. I was in the pitch black. I'd never been so scared. That was the last time I showered during the night. Another day, I was in my room and I've always shut the door. This day, the door would not open at all, would not budge. Home alone, so no one to help me. 4 hours go by and I hear a big boom, very loudly, like someone hit the top of my door. I'll never forget that sound. My door was open and I was finally let out like I was being punished. It was not, but 10 minutes later, Mom was home from work. After the day sitting on the couch, I feel something very slowly rub the back of my hair. A few minutes later, I hear an old man laughing directly in my ear. I was so confused in the laughter, knowing I was home alone and no TV was on, to begin to look outside to see if there was one of the neighbors. No one was outside either. I remember my mom finding this rocking chair in the storage under the staircase and bringing it upstairs and placing it catty corner in the living room facing the kitchen. Something about that rocking chair gave me overwhelming fear. I never could stay in the kitchen long enough without feeling like I needed to run or someone was watching me. One day while making a sandwich and feeling uneasy, the ceiling fan that has not worked in 7 or more years turned on and began to spin. Ran to my brother's room, who was home at the time. Speaking to my brother, the entire time we lived there, he was the meanest I've ever seen him. So much anger. Abusive, but not to me. One of the earliest memories I have at the house was when my grandmother lived there and I stayed the night. Woke up to the covers being drug off me very slowly. I grabbed them and pulled them back like I had been nailed to the floor. Would not budge. I squeezed my eyes shut, so afraid to think that I've passed out with fear. I was probably 5 at the time. When we moved out of the house, I did not experience any more paranormal. My brother was back to his self the way he was before we moved in. I forgot to mention my dog's strange behavior, acting like he was afraid of something and crawling really close to the ground. He never did that again either when we moved. My other family members have experiences of their own. Since sold the house to an unrelated family, and I always wonder if they had any experiences there. Just writing this and going back in that time gives me the spooks. So glad to be out of that house. It was very interesting.
It was very interesting and creepy. Really creepy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of times that we were talking about this not that long ago. The smaller kids, when you're young, like, I just think you're more susceptible and open to that. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like a lot of times they're picking on the kids, but they might be the only one they can, you know, the kids, they can get their attention.
That, I think, may very well just be the answer. It doesn't always necessarily mean that they're trying to be mean to the kids. It's exactly what you said. It's like, if that's your only communication, you know, person, then that's what you're going to try and go with if you're on the other side, I would think.
I mean, it's like, hey, I'm right here.
Yeah.
But I think you get so busy that your mind is so full of stuff mm-hmm. that you know, aren't really open to it, or you don't want to be open to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying a kid wants to be open to it. You just don't know any different.
No, it's there. It's there. If you're picking up on it, you're picking up on it. You don't mm-hmm. necessarily have a lot of say in that matter. Let's go to another caller, 855-853-4802, our phone number, at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hi, this is Jacob calling from Houston, Texas. And I've been wanting to call for a little while to tell my little story. I'm actually a big believer, obviously, in the paranormal, if I listen to your podcast. And when I was about 17, and this was the summer of 2018, I was with my friend, and I was talking to him about, like, watching, like, you know, like ghost clips and stuff on YouTube. And we never really discussed the paranormal before. And he was all into it, and we thought, like, oh, let's go buy a Ouija board. Well, we didn't really have the money to go buy a Ouija board, so we ended up just settling on making our own Ouija board out of cardboard and, like, scraps from packages and whatnot. Well, we only had one problem, though. His grandpa, which is who he lived with at the time, was very against anything paranormal or spiritual. I guess it spooked him or something. I don't know. I don't take him as a religious type. But so we ended up making a Ouija board. We looked online and tried to copy it exactly as we could. And we used, like, some packaging, some tint or something like that to make the triangle thing. I forgot what it's called. Anyways, we made the Ouija board, and we decided to go to the neighborhood park to go use it. It was him, me, and his sister. We got there. It was almost sunset. And we did a few sessions after looking on Google, literally how to use a Ouija board. And once we started to use it, we got a few spirits, I would think, and they all seemed fine. You know, it was interesting. we got one boy. The only one that really told us like who they were and whatnot was some boy. I forgot what the name is. He said he was 11, that he was lost, and that he was scared. I just remember that being like, I don't know, it really upset me. And then we stopped after that for a little while because some of the neighbors walked by the park and noticed us out there, and we talked to them and told them what was going on and stuff. And one of them joined us. His name's Devin. And after he joined us, he got too spooked out, and he quit. So me, Tyler, and Tyler's sister, that Tyler's my friend, I don't know if I said that earlier, we decided to do one more. And we asked the normal questions we had been asking, like, who are you? What do you want? Do you live here? I wanted to ask it personally so badly, how did you die? And I shouldn't ask that. I'd make it mad, so I never did. But, yeah, we asked the normal questions to this one spirit, and it came back Zozo, which, looking back now, I know who that is. But back then, I was like, Zozo, that's like a weird name. And I kept asking it questions, and it kept giving us very, like, scrambled answers. And finally, my Tyler's sister told me to ask it if it wanted to hurt us or harm us. And I asked it, and it said yes. And it said, do you want us to leave? And it said no. Oh, no, it said yes. And, I said, and then we asked it to leave, and it said no. So we got really spooked out after that, and we said, told it goodbye. We properly closed it and whatnot. And trying to decide how to get rid of the Ouija board, because we didn't want to bring it back to the house. So Grandpa, if you ever found it, would freak out. So we just settled on putting it in between a fence and some bushes that sat to the sides of the park. Like, if you want to imagine the park, it was like if you took a house and completely bulldozed it, and just that plot of land where the house would be was a park. So there was literally a house to the left of it and right of it, and it's like a little park, size of a house. And the back half of it is a basketball court, and the front half is swings and tables. And we were sitting on the basketball court, on the concrete. And those bushes were to the right of the basketball court. So Tyler and Devin and his two friends he was with, they were all sitting on the tables at the front of the basketball court. And me and Tyler's sister walked to the bushes, board in hand. And we were like, okay, I'm just going to reach back there and put it in there. It was dark, and we were already spooked. I asked her to put the flashlight on her phone for me while I reached back there to put it in there. I know it's probably littering or whatever, but, you know, we were just kids. And when I put it in there, I was reaching back there. And mind you, it was, like, dead silent. Like, I noticed that after the whole event. I noticed it was dead silent at that moment. Like, no wind, no dogs, and we had heard wind and dogs and car traffic because we were close to one of the busiest roads of town. And I just noticed there was no sound at that moment. And when I was reaching back there to put it, all of a sudden I hear this, like, growl, like a bear or like a demon. It literally, like, sounded like a demon bear or something. It was like, excuse me if it sounds funky, but it was like, arr, arr, arr. But it was getting closer and closer right in my ear, and it only lasted maybe 2 seconds or 2.5 seconds. But it felt like eternity. I was so scared. I jumped up, spun around. I actually screamed. I screamed, and so did my sister's friend, but not even because of me. We jumped up and spun around at the same exact time, and we both looked back and we're like looking for it because we heard it coming to us. It sounded like someone was running up on us. And ever since then, I haven't touched anything Ouija board or paranormal-wise. I still watch videos and shows and podcasts, obviously. But I would want to go back, but I don't know. It just spooked me. I hope I did everything right and didn't leave anything out there to come and attach itself to us or any of my friends. And another little side piece of that story is that Tyler and his sister, they said that once they got back home, those clothes that they were washing, they put them in the dirty clothes and washed them the day after. And they had just bought that washer and dryer about a month before this whole incident. And the day after, or the cycle after they took them out of the washer, the clothes were covered, like, in, like, red. It looked like ink, kind of, they said. Like, ink spot, like, if you had a pin in there, but there was obviously no pin in the washer, and the washing machine doesn't work anymore. They had to buy a new washer. So I don't know if that was coincidence or what, but, yeah, it's my quick little story. Sorry if I stuttered too much or took it too much attention to detail. Thank you.
Don't miss Demon Bear Hunter. That's Carrie's new love interest this fall on Death in the City. Join Carrie and Demon Bear Hunter as they wander through the wilds of the city looking for the demon bear. Don't forget your Manolo Blahniks, Carrie. That's this fall on HBO. There you go.
Oh, that made me laugh. And which was good because I was finding that story super creepy.
Yeah.
And then you jumped in with something that made me laugh. So thank you for that. I knew, like, as soon as they say Ouija board, I'm like, no. But, you know, it's like we hear these similar stories all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was just a creepy story.
That's why we have Ouija awareness.
And I'd be really pissed off if I was the mom and found out my kids were messing around with a Ouija board, brought something home, and ruined my brand new washer. Like, that would piss me off.
You think it's like covered under like the Maytag warranty?
It's like, yeah, so what's it doing? Oh, it's turning all my clothes red.
Yeah, I wonder if that would be like, well, we have no explanation for this. It continues to happen. Take pictures of it, like all the pictures you send them, like just are like the number 666, like burned into the picture.
Oh my god!
that would be interesting. Like, I don't know what's going on with this washer. It's still under warranty, and it's like every piece of clothes you have coming out of it looks like it's like either like burned 666 into the clothes, or it's stained it red or something. And you just keep sending the pictures to like Maytag or whatever.
Like, it's still doing it.
Like
and nowadays you get blow it up on social media. It's like
there'll be a real test of their customer service department to see how much they'll listen and how far they'll go to try and investigate this, or they would call bullshit on it really quick.
Or they would be like, your child was playing with a Ouija board, that's what you get.
You're like, I have a video where you can like make a TikTok or something video of it, where it's like you have it have something in there, like in the washing compartment, like a speaker. And like have it like saying like exorcist type shit.
Everything's backwards.
And it's shaking. Like, I don't know how to turn this off. When I press quick cycle, it all stops. But any other cycle, this is what I get.
I would be so pissed off at my children. Not only were you making your own damn Ouija board.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like I get it because, you know, when we were kids, we did the same stupid shit. I think it's because it's so taboo that kids are just, any child, you tell them, don't do that.
It's kind of like, yeah,
I'm going to do that.
I would say the Ouija board was like one of the last frontiers of like younger childhood before you start getting into like other shit. It was just one of those where it's like, oh, we've tried everything else now. How about summoning demons? Sure, let's give that a shot. You know?
Yeah, that's not like, well, and then you might be the one kid who's like on the inside going, I wouldn't do that. And then on the outside, you have to be like, okay.
Yeah, of course you
because
do.
The other kids are all saying okay. Yeah. And you don't want to be the kid who doesn't say okay. So it's just some weird rite of passage almost.
Yeah.
But, you know, you hear these terrifying stories of this shit.
But they didn't hear those stories, and that's why they're doing it. That's why it's advisable for you to play real ghost stories online in your children's bedrooms when they go to sleep at night, preferably starting in early childhood. That way, by the time they're two or three, they ain't going to be afraid of no ghost, and you'll get a nice, quiet night's sleep. I am not advising you do any of that.
I ain't afraid of no ghost. You're on tonight. Damn.
So there you go.
So I don't know. I think the lesson as parents is to somehow get into your child all the things that you want them to do, but make it super taboo. Like, you do not want to touch that vacuum cleaner. I am telling you. It looks like fun to vacuum.
Oh my God.
Don't touch it.
Do not touch the duster. The duster... Oh my God, that is Satan's tool, right? You don't want to know what Satan did with that thing.
Mommy's special duster.
Oh my God. It's not the one that vibrates.
This is a different
That's
one.
Not a duster.
You don't touch that one either.
No.
No, really. You can touch that one if you're using the reverse psychology.
Mommy likes The Exorcist. You have a vibrating crucifix in your nightstand. Mommy, why did you always have a vibrating crucifix in your nightstand? I just love the Lord.
You are so messed up tonight.
Your mother sucks cots in hell. It's like the one, I never quote movies ever. Like, I hate movie quotes. But that's the one I can do.
That is kind of one of those lines in a movie that you just don't forget.
You don't, no. But it's like somebody's going to quote like Jerry Maguire or something. And I'm like, what do you got? Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
It's the only movie quote I know.
That's all I know. Wasn't that from Jerry Maguire somewhere? I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And I think it's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an extra become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our extras and everything else there. Help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.